Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And we're glad you are. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson from the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. Happy to say that there is blue sky and sunshine back in South Mississippi after our hurricane experience over the last 48 hours. But we're glad you're with us, and we're glad to kick off another edition of the Eagle Hour. Lee Roberts will be joining us here in just a moment to preview the South Alabama game. I want to remind you about Dickie's Barbecue Pit first and our great friendship with those guys. A great place to call to cater your first homecoming event on the USM campus. A great place to eat dinner. 7 days a week, the food is always fresh and delicious. Heath Hinton scheduled to join us later in the show from Big Gold Nation, Kelly Center as well. But first, happy to welcome Lee Roberts back to the show, who will be joining us now every Tuesday as we move into football season. And Lee, great to have you back on the Eagle Hour. And it's hard to believe, but it's about time to kick off a new era of Southern Miss football.
No, it really is. And glad to be back on the show as well. You guys do an outstanding job, so appreciate you having me on. But no, you're right, man, kicking off the Will Hall era here at Southern Miss, and a lot of fans and people are excited. I stopped out at practice this morning. You know, they call it, you know, Competition Tuesday, and those guys were getting after it. So a lot of great things going on in regards to Southern Miss football. I'm excited that it's finally game week, though.
And what an interesting matchup with a former Southern Miss coach taking over at South Alabama, with Coach Hall taking over here. This thing is setting up to be a perfect drama and a great way to kick off the year, Lee.
No, it really is. And, you know, especially South Alabama coming in last year and, you know, beating us at home. So a little bad taste in our mouth for sure. But obviously new coaching staff here, new coaching staff there at South Alabama. Playing down there in a fairly new stadium. I think they opened it last year, so excited about that. But yeah, both coaches wanting to get started in their, you know, head coaching careers at their respective schools with a win. And Kane Womack, a super guy, a super coach, very successful defensive coach, and looking to get started. And we're standing in his way, and hopefully we can go in there and do what we need to take care of business. But a very important week for both teams.
All right, Luke, get in here with Lee and I.
Lee, you talked about that Competition Tuesday, and of course last week Coach Hall set a few of the starting lineups, and then the game notes released this week. Looks like some of the offensive line's been finalized. We expect to see maybe a possible wrinkle or two, but good news earlier this week on the defensive side of the ball. Looks like Hayes Maples will be available for Saturday night.
You know, and Hayes, and it just attributes his work ethic and what Hayes has been able to do. And, you know, the unfortunate knee injury, but in the off season, really working hard. And, of course, you know, what head athletic trainer Tom McCall says, he, you know, was ahead of schedule from the get-go. Hayes has been live. I saw him this morning. He's in really good spirits. And, yeah, looking for a big year out of him. I know leading tackler on the team last year. But he is one guy for sure that definitely is going to have to play well, both him and Avery Hobbs at that middle linebacker position. But, yeah, super excited that Hayes is going to be healthy.
Talk about on the offensive side of the ball with Trey Lowe first year coming in. It's his team. It's his. He took over, you know, late in the season last year, but the whole offseason, it was pretty clear out of spring. This is his offense, his huddle. As a former quarterback, what are the ease of that going in, and what will be the challenges for him in his first year as a starting quarterback?
You know, with them naming Trey Lowe the starter early in the spring, I felt like was a huge plus. That put the pressure on him, not the pressure on him, but obviously the weight that he knows he's going to be the guy going into fall camp and to lead this team in game one. And, you know, and you see those guys out there. And, of course, Ty Keyes, T. Webb, Jack Walker, all those guys are improving each and every day. But Trey Lowe is the definite starter here at Southern Miss and doing some superb things. And as a former quarterback, knowing that, hey, I'm that starter going in, my guys are looking to me, being that leader on and off the field, it's a big deal. I can remember when we had an offensive coordinator change at Southern Miss, and Coach Larry Keck comes in and, you know, says, hey, guys, we've got 11 positions on offense, 10 of them are open. You know, and that said a lot because he was pointing at me saying, hey, you're the only returner that is named starter so far. And that's kind of the way Trey Lowe is going to be. He really finished strong last year playing against FAU, and a lot of big things are expected out of him this year.
One more question about the backfield. Of course, we expect Frank Gore Jr. to get the bulk of the work, but is he going to be a three-down back? What do you think the rotation of the backfield is going to look like?
You know, they're working Frank Gore, obviously. Darius Mayberry has had a really good camp. Dejon Richard is doing some great things. And don't forget about the fullbacks. The fullbacks are going to be a big part of this offense as well. You know, Cole Cavallo is going to get the bulk of the work there. I think Driver playing there too. So this is a team that's going to see some one back with Frank and Mayberry in the backfield and some two back as well. So I know this is something that Will Hall wants to do, to establish the run. As good as Trey Lost on the football, I think Frank Gore and Mayberry going to have to establish the run, and that's definitely one thing that the offensive line has been able to do, is really open up some holes, put some pressure on the defensive front, and I feel like they've had a good fall camp as well. So looking for some great things out of the running game.
Coach Womack, of course, had a really good nationally ranked defensive team up at Indiana, Lee, and so what will the Golden Eagles have to do to attack his style of defensive play?
You know, one thing I think in game one, I mean, you got to make some mistakes. Is so really to focus to try to eliminate those mistakes. You know, protect the football, whether it's Trey Lowe not forcing a ball or it's Frank Gore not putting a ball on the turf. I think it's those guys really taking care of the football that's going to be one of the positives, because Kane Womack is going to bring it. He and his defensive coordinator Corey Batoon are going to have a plan, and they're going to come at Southern Miss knowing that. You know, this is a team that has a chance to do some really good things, and they're going to really put a lot of pressure on them. So if Southern Miss can eliminate the negative plays, I think they'll be successful.
Well, you've been in the shoes of all the players, of course, with your great career at Southern Miss. They've been through spring ball, now they've been through the fall camp, and here they are two or three days away from really getting to start things out. What's going on in the minds right now of the kids on the football team, Lee?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, they are ready to face somebody that's not wearing black and gold. And, you know, just getting to game week knows that things are different. You know, you go all spring fighting against your own team. The off season is a brutal grind. And then you start fall camp, and it's a long, drawn-out process where they're going early and staying late. You know, finally school starts. It's able to cut down some of the time, you know, with the players. But game week is where it's at. I mean, just doing the things that they need to off the field to have themselves ready to play on the field. And, hey, when you get on that bus on Friday, you'll be ready to go. And, you know, it's all about business from that point forward.
Is it hard to contain your excitement? Is it hard to keep an even keel as you get closer to opening night?
You know, I think you've got to have some excitement. And the flip side, I think you've got to be even keel as well. I mean, you can't let your excitement overtake, you know, the things that you can do or that you need to do. And, you know, but football is an exciting game, and guys get pumped, and everybody prepares differently. I'm not a rah-rah guy, but there are some folks that play behind center that are. And, you know, whether you're a defensive lineman or a defensive back or an offensive lineman, somebody has got to try to get a team pumped up. And I think this team does have those guys. And obviously this team's going to look to some of the veterans, the guys that have been around a little bit. And even those guys, they're looking for success. So, I think you've got to have a little bit of pep in your step all week.
And a great setting it's going to be. You guys down there, ESPN, broadcasting the game on one of their streaming services. We understand if it's not a sellout, it's going to be very close to a sellout. And all of this after a year, Lee, where we really couldn't enjoy football like we were used to. So what a great night to look forward to.
Yeah, and somebody told me this morning the weather's supposed to be fabulous as well. So that's even a plus. And, you know, I know the weather today has been super. And I was out at practice this morning. You'd have never thought it was August, so that's just a plus for sure. But yeah, all the things that are going on, guys are excited, and you know, whether it's Southern Miss or South Alabama, new coaches, just a lot of great things going on. But you're right, just the way things were last year, limited capacity. If it's not a sellout crowd, you're right, it'll be a huge crowd. I think there'll be a good showing from Southern Miss fans as well, and I think we just need to take care of business, go down to South Alabama, and try to come away with a win.
Well, we can't wait, and we're glad you're back on the Eagle Hour. We'll look forward to talking to you next Tuesday and get your analysis of what we're all waiting for, Lee.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. So appreciate you guys. Have a great week, and go Eagles.
All right. Lee Roberts, everybody. Color analyst for the Golden Eagle Radio Network. Great college quarterback himself. He'll be joining us each and every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And football season is finally here. All right. Eagle Hour continues. Don't go anywhere.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, I want to thank Lee Roberts for joining us in the opening segment. Again, he'll be with us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Now the football season here. Great college quarterback in his own right and a championship quarterback for the Golden Eagles. So his insight is welcome on the Eagle Hour. This segment is sponsored by our good friends at Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. I missed it a couple of weeks ago when the guys had Miss Kathleen on the show. I'm sure it was a great interview. She's a great lady. And if you want to get you some new swag for the upcoming football season, there's really no other place to go. They're located across the street from the Southern Miss campus on Hardy Street. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Patrick McGee, now of the New Orleans Time-Picayune, returns to the Eagle Hour tomorrow. Going to be our unofficial official New Orleans Saints correspondent now that he's living down in the Big Easy. And speaking of the NFL and Southern Miss, Kelly Sander joins us. And Kelly and Luke have a lot of news involving Golden Eagle players in the big league. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing good. I appreciate everybody, you know, checking in with each other this weekend, making sure everybody was as safe as possible. And now we're definitely on countdown to the opener this Saturday. I know Luke is going to go over some Southern Miss players and what their status is with the National Football League. Today is the last day for NFL teams to cut their rosters down to 53, which will be the number that they will have to carry going into week one. Now, this is not week one of the season. The official NFL season begins a week from Thursday night. But nonetheless, today is the deadline. Nick Mullins was cut over the weekend by the Philadelphia Eagles when the Eagles traded for Gardner Minshew out of Brandon, Mississippi. Of course, he comes from Jacksonville to Philadelphia, but that meant that Nick Mullins was dispatched. But getting word this afternoon that the Cleveland Browns are going to sign Nick Mullins to their practice squad once the 53-man roster has been announced. Other notable cuts over the weekend: Picasso Nelson, trying to get some legs with the Cardinals in Arizona, had a good preseason, but not quite good enough as Picasso Nelson was released. And Ito Smith, for the second time in the fall, has been cut, this time by the Minnesota Vikings. Hmm. Other things regarding to the NFL, before we get to the rest of where the Southern Miss players are, the New Orleans Saints at a press conference this morning announced without electricity for the next 4 to 6 weeks in New Orleans. It's estimated that they are prepared to be away from the dome for the first fourth of the NFL season. That means, obviously, the opener with the Green Bay Packers will not be played in New Orleans. And Michael Thomas, their star receiver, is going to miss at least 6 games to begin the season. That's what they are saying now. If they put him on the physically unable to perform list, also known as the PUP list, he will miss the first 6 weeks of the season. Not good for you fantasy football owners that drafted him. But some good news regarding the Saints' situation, with the Hurricane Ida being so destructive again in New Orleans, and again the Saints expected to miss the first fourth of the season away from New Orleans. The Atlanta Falcons, of all teams, the Atlanta Falcons have pledged $1 million to the city of New Orleans today for Hurricane Ida relief. Of all teams in the NFL, their most bitter rival, the Falcons, have stepped up and said, put us down for $1 million.
There we go. Luke, you've got some other Southern Miss players that are going to be playing in the big league.
Yeah, so when you look at Southern Miss, about 14 different players. I may have missed one. Apologize for that. But here are your actives right now. So these are guys that are not cut, that are actively on a roster. Of course, Jamie Collins will be starting at linebacker for the Detroit Lions. DeMichael Harris, a backup receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. Raheem Nunez-Rochez will be starting or in that first rotation for the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the defensive line. Jalen Richard has a foot injury, but he's on the active roster for the Raiders. John Gruden said, I think a couple days ago, he's going to be out just a little longer. Mike Thomas, a backup receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. Cameron Tom looks like he hasn't been cut yet, and he's a backup center for the Miami Dolphins. And then I mentioned Mike Thomas, but a guy that nobody thinks about, Rashad Hill, is the starting left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. And then as of right now, y'all, looks like Quez Watkins has earned a starting spot at receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, according to the depth chart, official depth chart online. He's like that. Kelly mentioned Ito being cut. He also mentioned Picasso Nelson being cut. A couple other guys, Cornell Armstrong, cut by the Houston Texans. Tavarius Moore tore his Achilles, so he's out indefinitely for San Francisco. And I think that would be it. Yeah, Nick Mullins is supposed to sign with Cleveland this afternoon. So right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Golden Eagles on active rosters. Three of those should be starting. Quez Watkins for the Philadelphia Eagles, Rashad Hill for the Vikings, and Jamie Collins for the Detroit Lions.
I just can't get over Ito Smith, guys. It amazes me because I followed him pretty closely in Atlanta, and it seemed to me, Kelly, he was a productive running back.
I agree, and again, you don't know the inner workings of these football teams, but he played well in the opportunities that he had in the preseason, including with the Vikings. But you know, the Vikings only really had him for a week, so you don't really know how much can you really prove, you know, in 1 week, and he was released, you know, the week before that. So I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob. There must be something that we're not seeing, obviously, that other teams are. But, you know, lots of times and I've seen this with college recruiting, too. There might be a guy that nobody wants, and all of a sudden somebody will offer the kid, and then all of a sudden, once he gets offered or she gets offered, there's like 5 or 6 other schools that jump on board immediately, you know, that had opportunities to get them earlier. But once somebody shows interest in them, it's like everybody shows interest in them. And I think conversely, unfortunately, it can be the same. Once a couple of teams are cooled on you, then other teams cool on you as well. So that might be the situation with Ito. The only thing that surprises me about what Luke said, not that Quez Watkins made the Philadelphia Eagles, because we've always known that he was the difference maker down here, but the fact that it looks like he's going to be one of the guys in Philadelphia as a rookie. Now, make no mistake, the Eagles are not projected to win the Super Bowl by any means, but still, to make a roster at that level and to maybe be one of the guys as a rookie and a lesser-known rookie, that says a lot for not only what he's done at camp, but for his skill set, I think.
Right. Not USM related, but the biggest news of the day in the NFL is the Patriots have cut Cam Newton, Luke.
Yeah, Mac Jones, they're going to roll with him. Apparently, they think he could be, you know, Tom Brady-esque, Tom Brady-like. Cam Newton, I guess I get that. If he's not going to be your starter, you just have to cut the rope and let him go. But pretty interesting. I think they're rolling with Brian Hoyer as the backup. So it'd be interesting. There's going to be some growing pains in New England, but you know, Matt Jones looks like, as of right now, Bill Belichick believes there's more to him than just what he did at Alabama.
I don't know about the growing pains, too, Luke. It is Belichick, and it is the Patriots, and Las Vegas, I think, has the over-under win total for the Patriots at 9.5. So, you know, that would tell me that although they are making some personnel changes, most other teams, you know, think pretty highly of the Patriots. Look, it wouldn't make me any happier to see the Patriots have a couple of down years. Yeah.
But Kelly, here's my question. Is this a really important year for Belichick to prove that he's the genius behind the Patriots' success and not Brady? Or has Belichick won so much and so well established that he doesn't really care what anyone thinks?
I don't even think from day one, Bob, he really cared what anybody thinks. You know? I mean, that's why they call him the Emperor up there, like from Star Wars. You know, he's a bad boy.
So you don't think he's sweating this out, huh?
No, and he has said as much in his last couple of years that his career is almost over as a coach, regardless of the success of the Patriots. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Coach Belichick's in his mid-70s. He may not look at it.
Might be right, yeah.
Yeah, might not look like it, but I think he's in his mid-70s. And, I mean, I think he's pretty much said that next couple of years is going to be it regardless. But it certainly is a good argument as to whether it was Belichick or was it Brady. Right now, you'd have to say it was Brady because of what he did with Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah,
but I think if Belichick were to be without a job, somebody would hire him if he wanted to work.
Yeah, you think. It's safe to say, too, that he's going to go down, if not the best coach ever, certainly one of the two or three best coaches to ever coach in the league.
Oh, for sure. I was glad to hear you say in the league, because if you said of all time, you'd certainly have to include Ellis Johnson in there.
Yeah, well, needless to say, yes.
You know, y'all calling this man old. This man's only 69 years old, okay? That's all he is.
He's not that old.
And people forget that he actually won two Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator, so the man has 8 rings total.
Golly. Yeah, he's not worried about what they think of him on the Eagle Hour, safe to say.
Yeah, I don't think our opinion is going to matter whether he gets a raise or not.
And you know who gave him his shot?
Ray Perkins. Right, no question. Perkins. All right, more to come. Stay with us. Eagle Hour rolls along.
Southern Miss to the top.
Third segment on this Tuesday brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, located on 4th Street in Hattiesburg today. Jeopardy on today. Never know who's going to host that, you know. But anyway, Jeopardy at 4th Street Bar and Grill. College football all weekend long, even a Thursday night game. Lots of stuff going on. I think it's even a Wednesday night game this week. I think UAB is playing. Get that for you in just a moment. But, yeah, you can see it all at 4th Street Bar and Grill. They always got something on the TV. Of course, the $8.95 Blue Plate lunch every single day. Yeah, UAB playing Jacksonville State tomorrow in the Montgomery kickoff at 6:30. It will be on ESPN. But anyway, all that at 4th Street Bar and Grill, proud sponsors of the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Kelly Sander joining us on the phone. Bob and I in the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel. And Kelly, big news today for Jay Ladner, the official 2021-2022 basketball schedule released for the men.
Yeah, and when you look at it, Luke, not a bad schedule as far as caliber of teams, you know, based on how they played last year. They've got, besides conference home games, of course, they've got home games scheduled against Louisiana Lafayette out of the Sun Belt. They've got Lamar out of the WAC, which Lamar used to be in the Southland Conference. And then they're on the road, you know, at South Al, which that's a traditional game. But they'll also play TCU, Texas Christian, in Fort Worth, and then play East Carolina, which is an old Metro Conference rival. And that's even before they begin conference play. So all in all, and the exhibition with Delta State will take place. They'll play William Carey. So he's got some Mississippi flavor in there as well. But I think as we break down the schedule, we talked about Lamar being in the Southland. And I don't want to get off track, but I certainly want to send prayers to everybody at Nichols State in Thibodaux. Nichols is in the Southland, and the storm has really wreaked havoc on that campus. In fact, the university and all classes at Nichols State have been canceled until further notice. So we hope that we hope that things will get better soon down in Thibodaux. But yeah, let's break down that schedule, Luke.
Yeah, you look at it, starts on November 4th, which is a Thursday, three home games to start the season, Delta State, William Carey, and then the Raging Cajuns. What I like about it is first four out of five games at Reed Green, the fourth game in that five-game schedule is at TCU. And then you've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight non-conference games before you start December 30th with conference. So it breaks down like this: 14 non-conference games, 18 conference games, 15 at home, 17 on the road. You look at, let's just talk about that really first, Kelly, as we go from really November the 4th until December 21st, East Carolina, the last non-conference game. A good amount. They'll be on the road after four out of the first five. They'll go to Montana for a few games. Play ULM, Southern Illinois. So, you know, you start off at home, but then you got a little road stretch, but then you get ready for non-conference or for conference play. And there's some challenges in there. Jacksonville returns back. We played down there to start the season last year. Kelly, plus or minus to be at home to begin with and then before you take a road trip?
I think it's actually better to play on the road. To kind of get your legs under you at first. But I don't think there's any, you know, it's a big difference one way or the other. I like the fact that the schedule is relatively even as far as home games and road games. We've all known in the past in football that because of finances, you know, the Eagles have had to play a majority of their games on the road. But this basketball schedule is pretty equal. When you look at home and homes, you know, you've got home and homes with everybody in the Western Division, including UAB. You know, they're going to be tough as always. You got home and homes with UTEP and the other UTSA, the other teams, you know, in the West. And then they've got to play Western. They do get Western Kentucky in Hattiesburg from the other side. So if you have to play Western Kentucky, you certainly want to play them at home. So I think all in all, I think the competitiveness of this schedule is better. But I also think, And Coach Ladner and his assistants, whom I talk with quite a bit, they know that this is the year that fans want to see some marked improvement. You know, I mean, even though it is Jay Ladner and he's a homegrown guy and, you know, went to Oak Grove and all the local stories, this will be the third year. And
you
fickle
got to.
Fans or not, they want to see some improvement starting this year. So it's a big season coming up.
Bob, you will be relieved to know that the entire schedule is filled out. There is no bonus play anywhere. There's no TBA. It's all filled out from November to early March.
Well, I think that helps sell tickets, don't you guys? I mean, if you don't really know who they're playing the last half of the year or the last quarter of the year, you don't even know where they're playing, I would think that complicated the process of selling season tickets. And I think that's about as important as winning is to get some support in the Coliseum, Luke, because I think the more support, the better the team will respond. And so if people want to see Jay Ladner get this program turned around, they need to step up and buy tickets and be there when they start playing in November.
And there's been some movement towards that. And, Kelly, you can talk about this. I mean, people have wanted to buy in. I mean, just – but you felt like, you know, with some of the roster issues and other stuff last year, they regressed a little bit. And, you know, we were really excited about this roster of last year and who they returned. They just really never gelled. Tay Hardy didn't work out as a one, had to move him over to a two. And so, as you said, I mean, I feel like not with the multitudes, but there has been the attempt at least to buy in. And, you know, you make a trip on a weeknight, you go down there, and then, you know, they would drop a game and fans would get disappointed. So, to your point, you know, the earlier that starts this season, but man, it's going to be tough starting off with Western Kentucky, you know, with that. And so, you got to hope that this non-conference schedule goes better than normal. At least we're not down in Atlantis playing like the top five in the first five games.
And here's what you were talking about, Luke, with the schedule being completely filled out and no pod play or any of that thing. What we've learned in Hattiesburg over the past 35 or 40 years, for however long I've been following Southern Miss, is if you don't have a date and a time set out there, people in Hattiesburg are going to Destin. It doesn't matter if it's January 10th and it's 10 degrees in Destin. They're going to Destin. They're going to rent the condo, and they're going to go to Gulf Shores or Destin. So they don't have that excuse of, well, we didn't know that y'all were playing. Well, you do now. So you can block out all those Saturdays and forget renting the condo until June or July.
They're going to go to Destin. If they don't know when you're playing, they're going to go to Destin.
That's about the truth. And I know there are several people riding in their cars right now that listen to the show that are nodding their head up and down. Yep, he's right.
Well, so we all want Jay Ladner to succeed. He's a fantastic guy, and he loves Southern Miss. And so I just want to encourage people to support the basketball team and give them something to get excited about like it used to be at the Reed Green Coliseum. It's hard to describe to the people that weren't around then how totally and completely electric basketball was in this town.
There were scalpers, Bob. Scalpers.
Right.
Outside walking the grounds at Reed Green Coliseum selling tickets for above face value.
Right.
Back when you could do that, when Louisville and Memphis would come to town,
Yeah. You
could not get a ticket.
No.
There were people tailgating before basketball games.
Camping out sometimes. The kids of the students would camp out around the Coliseum to be the first to get in the next night.
And if they couldn't get a ticket, they'd go to Destin.
Yes, that's right. And I heard rumors back in those days that when those students were camping out around the Coliseum, there were some adult beverages involved.
Well, any further comment would have to come from the president. I'm not a
listener. Or the head of the Dixie Darlings,
no.
Right?
But I remember, too, though. I mean, you know, you look at the first Tindall NIT run when we played Charleston Southern, Louisiana Tech, and BYU back-to-back games in Hattiesburg. It was crunk there. I mean, that was big. And then when the girls actually, when the ladies hosted some NIT games, I mean, that was huge also. So yeah, Southern Miss fans have shown to be when there's winning there, they'll show up and they'll show up in big numbers.
And when you're not winning, they go to Destin, right, Kelly?
Well, yeah. I mean, you give people in Hattiesburg any reason to go to Destin or to play football in New Orleans. They're the only crowd that would want Southern Miss football to play Tulane in New Orleans
every year. Right. They didn't want Tulane coming here. They just wanted to play down there every year. I never understood that.
Yeah, well, I understand why. But how much time we got before break?
30 seconds.
All right, real quick. The women's cross-country preseason poll is out in Conference USA. Middle Tennessee is projected to finish first. Charlotte picked to finish second. This according to the media and voters, of course. Rice third, and the USM Lady Eagles, the Southern Miss Lady Eagles, projected to finish fourth in cross country this year out of all the Conference USA teams. A good
you know,
start. Fourth in the poll.
I don't believe any. The more that I hear these media polls as we go to break, they're just people like us. They
right.
don't know anything.
That's exactly right.
They're just going off whim. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't. Any media poll out there, forget it, because it's just somebody like Bob, Luke, and Kelly. that can I confess these on air, these off air secrets, that we looked something up 10 seconds ago and formed an opinion about it? Forget the media poll.
Right. And the guys that eat free in the press box before every game. And other than that, that's about the extent of their expertise. We'll be back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Fourth segment brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. They help me run a 5240. They can help you too. Located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Big Labor Day camp coming up next Monday. Still got an opportunity to sign up. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty from the First Bank Studios in downtown Laurel, and Hattiesburg, Kelly Sander continues with us on the phone. Guys, so there was apparently last night a documentary on the 2005-2006 Texas National Championship team. And of course, or actually, I'm sorry, the 2005 team. And of course, the reason that team won the Rose Bowl and then won the national championship the next year is because the Golden Eagles in December of 2004, we almost pulled off the upset against Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch and J.J. Arrington in M.M. Roberts Stadium. Now, why am I bringing this up on air? Because I had a traumatizing flashback. Not sure I could go to sleep last night, Bob. At the end of that game, we were set to tie the ball game.
I remember.
They blocked the PAT.
I remember.
I took off down the field, probably running a 4.5 40 at that point. Mm. Never again in my life, but at that moment. Unable to chase down the defender, he went in for 2 points. They attacked on another touchdown, and we got beat by 10. But we prevented Aaron Rodgers from going to the Rose Bowl. He went to the Holiday Bowl instead. Anyway, on my Twitter feed, I retweeted that comment about that commentary, and just once again, apologized to Golden Eagle Nation for not being able to track down that guy. So I'll just offer another on-air apology to everyone in our listening audience.
At what point on the field did you realize this is futile?
For the first 60 to 65 yards, it was like, what is happening to me right now? Because I was literally just behind him. Like, I could have probably reached out and touched his jersey. But you think, you know, before you leap, you don't want to just jump in the air. So I probably waited past the moment of jumping, and probably around the other 20-yard line, there was this voice that rose up within my soul that just said, "You're done." And I just had to slow down because I was literally about to fall out.
That's when he turned around and kind of watched you as he ran into the end zone, as if I remember that correctly. Am I right?
Yeah, because that guy had a voice in his head, too, saying, "You better not get tracked down by a punter."
Dude, it was so awesome, though. It was so awesome because everybody next week were like, "Bro, we didn't know you could run that fast." And I said, "I didn't know I could run that fast either."
And that was on your Twitter feed. And speaking of Twitter feeds, I don't know if you guys have seen what South Al has been putting out this week, calling the Golden Eagles the Yellow Birds.
Yeah, I've heard
the
worse.
The Yellow Birds.
Yeah, I've heard the Yellow Buzzards before. I've heard it all.
And
Honey Birds, Mustard Buzzards.
Mm-hmm. Eagles are much, they're the most regal bird out there. And for them to call Southern Miss the Yellow Birds. The other thing I'm kind of...
Let me just tell you something. Kelly, I don't know if you've seen these YouTube videos, but there's actually one of a golden eagle carrying off a fox, like through the air. And there's actually, there's these Mongolian wolf hunters that will have golden eagles perched on their shoulder and their arms, and they will send golden eagles to go fight wolves. So what is a jaguar if our mascot can pick you up and carry you off through the air?
And Kelly, I'm old enough to remember when we played the Mongolian war hunters, and it was a hell of a game. We lost right in the end, if I recall.
Well, and they had to change their mascot because Mongolian war hunters got upset that they were being.
They had a running game, though. I remember that.
They sure did. And one of the things, you know, Kane Womack, of course, the new head coach at South Alabama, graduated from Oak Grove High School right down here by our studio. And I coached him in Dizzy Dean baseball when he was 10, 11, and 12 years old. And so, I really, really wish Kane would all the luck in the world. I hope they win every game they play except this one.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he's married to an Oak Grove girl. Like I said, his dad, Dave Womack, was a defensive coordinator for Coach Bauer. So there's a lot of Southern Miss ties with Kane Womack and the South Alabama program. And I think all of these side stories are the reason that tickets are really – I heard a report yesterday that over 5,000 tickets have been purchased by Southern Miss fans.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you think he wants to win this game? A 12 or 13?
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, for the same reasons, you know. But Kane Womack understands – he understands, if nobody else in Mobile understands, the rich tradition that is Southern Miss football.
Right. Well, we'll find out about the Jaguars tomorrow. J.D. Byers, who was scheduled to be on the show Monday, he got stormed out, of course. He's going to join us tomorrow. And Luke is looking forward to this, Kelly. Patrick McGee returns. He's now living in New Orleans on Magazine Street. He has a up-close and personal ability to report on Luke's beloved New Orleans Saints. So he comes back to the Eagle Hour tomorrow as well.
Well, yeah, I really, my thoughts are to the people in New Orleans and Thibodeau who have been so bad, and all the areas down there in Louisiana.
All our neighbors and friends in Louisiana, they're tough people.
Yeah.
But boy, they have taken it from hurricanes here in the last two or three years, and I join you, Kelly. We hope them nothing but the best. All right, Eagle Hour back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.